You happen to be reading from Adilila chapter 4?
I definitely am. Adilila chapter 4, text 55. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. And now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies, and thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. And now, to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna, and from that the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love.
That means that you really need to study the Bhagavatam before you study Chaitanya Charitamrita. You have to understand the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, especially the dealings of Radha and Krishna and Braja, before actually understanding the greatness of Mahaprabhu.
She is his internal energy called Ladini. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. But Krishna's body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. His one spiritual energy manifests three forms. The Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Sambit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Ladini, Sandini, and Sambit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. The essential portion of the Sandini potency is Sudasattva. Lord Krishna's existence rests upon it. Lord Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of this Sudasattva. The condition of pure goodness, Sudasattva, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears uncovered, is called Vasudeva. In that pure state, the Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses and who is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind. The essence of the Sambhit potency is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. All other kinds of knowledge, such as knowledge of Brahman, are its components. And the essence of the Vadini potency is love of God. And the essence of love of God is Bhava. And the ultimate development of Bhava is Mahabha. Sri Radharani Thakurani is the embodiment of this Mahabha.
What is that called? What's the Sanskrit for that embodiment of Mahabha?
Mahabhava Swarup Radha Thakurani.
Can you read that verse?
Mahabhava Swarupa Sri Radha Thakurani Sarva Gana Kani Krishna Kanta Shiromani. That means Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel amongst all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. This is the quote. Of these two gopis, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she surpasses all in good qualities. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency of Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever blissful spiritual love.
Tell me again, Rat, her name is Mahabhav Swarupi.
Mahabhav Swarupi.
Swarupi.
Swarupa, Shri Radha Thakurani.
Swarupa?
Mahabhav.
Swarup, Radha Thakurani.
Mahabhav Swarupa, Shri Radha Thakurani.
Now you should say a few words instead of just reading things. Please.
It helps to understand in a theological way the position of Srimati Radharani, because it forces us to understand that we're hearing a subject matter that's beyond our mind and senses and intelligence and our capacity to understand. By the measuring propensity, such as our intelligence, we measure things against things like the frog in the ocean. How many times bigger than, how much more beautiful than me is Srimati Radharani? Is she 100 times more beautiful? Is she? And so it helps us to have our intelligence humble by hearing something that we can't access and sort of play with. We actually can only approach it by the process of hearing. And then, when we hear the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they're embellished by having had philosophical understanding first. And they're much sweeter. And we're much more careful when we hear them. To hear them with an eagerness to know something. And we get a very sweet explication from Srimati Radharani. So, and here, this is explaining how Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they separate, and Krishna has three energies, Sat, Chit, Ananda, or Samvit, Sandini, and Ragini, so the same as Sat, Chit, and Ananda. And that the Ananda Shakti, or Ragini Shakti, the potency for pleasure, Krishna's potency for pleasure, is Radha. And Prabhupada explains that we also have a pleasure potency. Our pleasure potency gives us pleasure when we offer our pleasure to Krishna. We try to serve Krishna and our pleasure potency works. So if we take our pleasure potency and try to enjoy it, then we only meet with a contradictory result. So when we hear about Krishna's enjoyment, our heart has to be tranquil.
Our pleasure potency, our tendency for pleasure should be offered to Krishna, is that the idea? Basically?
Well, it's like Prabhupada uses the example of the husband and the wife, which of course doesn't work very well anymore. In Kali Yuga, because everything is pollution about, everybody wants to control and be independent. And so you can't sort of see it in its ideal form, but that the wife is supposed to ideally please the husband. By pleasing him, when he's pleased, then his pleasure results in her pleasure. And then when she becomes happy and wants to please him more, and he becomes more pleased than he pleased her. So that relationship like that is the relationship that the Jiva shares with Krishna.
Okay, what does it mean then that his pleasure potency should be offered to?
So he should try to seek his pleasure in the mood that a woman seeks pleasure, not in the mood that a man seeks pleasure.
I thought of another little angle on it in trying to understand this wonderful concept, is that person has potencies for pleasure.
Yes.
What that means is he has facilities, almost. Like the example of the wife, for example, or the example of your car, your money, your family, and all those should be offered for the pleasure of Krishna. That's sort of a simple way to understand it. In other words, instead of using everything as the materialists do, based on their false ego, false sense of being the center, the enjoyer, we should use whatever shaktis we have, energies, facilities that we have. Huh?
Power,
yeah. Well, these things are powers. They're shaktis, in a sense. Like, that's what, that's why in Hare Krishna terminology we call Mani Lakshmi, because it's a shakti. Actually, it's Krishna shakti. All these things are Krishna shakti. So it's very hard for our conditioned soul, make it impossible for him to accept and understand that he's not the enjoyer of his own shakti, or the things that are given to him, but actually these things aren't our shaktis, because we can't actually enjoy them, and they're Krishna's, and they're given to us by Krishna, by virtue of the super soul, and by the virtue of our karma, but they're actually Krishna's energies. So everything should be offered to Krishna, and then they give us pleasure. Like the ability in man, say if we have artistic abilities, or musical abilities, or this ability, or that ability. When we try to exploit them and get results for our pleasure, then they don't bring us pleasure, they actually become a burden, and they drive us like like whips. They drive us. They become our masters. We try to enjoy them as their shaktis, but they become very difficult masters.
Mm-hmm. You can see that if you study the life, you know, carefully look at the life of any kind of person. If you look from the outside at somebody who has an attractive presence in the world, and you envy their abundance. But when you actually examine your life, you find something quite different.
Because that ability that they have is centered on them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it defeats them, their own ability. They're defeated by their own success in that sense.
And they automatically create enemies, automatically.
Yeah.
When they're not doing something for Krishna, they automatically create.
And when you do something for Krishna, everyone is your friend, and no one, everyone is happy with you, and no one becomes your enemy. Yeah?
No.
But that's actually one of the qualities of those. So it's pleasing to everyone.
I heard Prabhupada say something like that about pleasing to everyone, and he says, no enemies. And then he said, of course, there may be people who think of themselves as enemies of the Vaishnava.
Mm.
But the Vaishnava doesn't think of himself as their enemy.
Or them as his enemy.
Yes, them as his enemy.
You don't get caught into the whirlpool of the friends and enemies that Prahlad spoke so strongly against. That's what happened when when Prahlad Maharaj, he was just a little older than Dhruva. He went to school, and then his father took him on his lap at the end of a day, and he asked him, my dear Prahlad, what is the best thing you learned in school today? And he was expecting an answer like, 2 and 2 is 4, or the capital of Israel is Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, excuse me, or a political statement actually.
Good thing
his
name is not a spy.
He's a spy for Krishna. And he goes back. But so he expected some silly bit of knowledge. And Prahlad, instead, his little boy said, the best thing I learned is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasa. The best thing I learned is to hear and chant and remember about Krishna is the greatest thing. What did he asked, what is the best thing you've learned? And he said, this is the best thing. And first Hari Kashyapu just looked at him But he didn't get really, really angry. He just thought, anyway, it's a little boy. Why are the teachers teaching him this?
Where did he get it from?
No, that's what this. Because he assumed that the teachers taught him. So then the teachers, that he called the teachers in, he began to raise his eyebrows at the teachers, and they said, "We didn't teach him this, you know, don't." He thought that they were acting as his enemies, because as Vishnu was his enemy. So they said, "Don't worry, we'll take care of him." So they took him back to school and they said, "Prahlad, my dear boy, here's a sweet. Now tell us, where did you learn this false knowledge? Where did you learn this? How did you learn to be glorifying our enemy, Vishnu?" And Prahlad answered, he looked at him and said, "Enemy? Friend's enemy?" He couldn't relate to the concept at all of friends and enemy. And he said, "Previously I've heard that people think like this, but now I'm actually seeing it."
Mm-hmm.
He was amazed. That's the vision of Amar Bhagavata.
That's how he has no enemies, because Rangasapu certainly set about to give him trouble.
Yeah. And he never reciprocated that.
Mm.
He didn't call him father though.
No.
Until after he was killed. After he was killed, he called him father. After he was killed, because that meant he was purified, died. As they say in Australia, Lord must finger dive.
Swami Swami told me that it's not every that you run the cut that really takes place, but it's done in region. So it meant that, you know, when he was praying for his father, he had good reason.
Now Sri Radharamani will say something about Sri Radharamani, if you kindly will. Thank you.
Well, I was going to tell a short deal that I heard from, that we heard from Sachinandan song a couple of years ago, going down the street, but then when I was listening to Maharaji reading there, I was remembering that. About 15 years ago, I was reading that section from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one verse completely sort of just struck me from that section. So I memorized it, and to this day, it just stays with me. Even though I don't cite it off that often, but it just stays with me.
I mean, probably you ask him what that verse is.
Govinda Nandini. Radha Govinda Mohini.
Govinda Mohini. Govinda Mohini. Govinda Sarvasya Sarvakan. Thank you.
Good, say it.
Lucky I stopped in time.
Just say it, go ahead.
I was going to read what you were saying. You want me to say it?
Oh.
Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. She is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts.
And the Sanskrit-y?
Govinda Anandini, she who gives pleasure to Govinda. Radha, Srimati Radharani, Govinda Mohini, she who mystifies Govinda. Govinda Sarvastra, the all and all of Lord Govinda. Sarvakanti, Sarvakanta of all his, the Lord's lovers. Suramani, the crown jewel.
Like to say anything else?
Briefly tell them the reason that I brought. Make it really brief. So one day, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they're going to Bandiyavan for having some fun. But when they get to Bandiyavan, they see that already at Bandiyavan is one group of sakis. Naturally, they're a bit put out because this is where they come to have their fun. So Madhu Mangal says to the Sakis, "Hey, Sakis, what are you doing here in this place?" They say, "We've come to have some fun." Madhu Mangal says, "We come to play. We come here all the time. We bring the cows. We have all sorts of fun here. So what are you doing here?" They say, "We also come. We also have fun." And Madhu Mangal says, "Yes, but we come here and we wrestle." And Vaidhi Devi said, "Well, our Priya Sakhi Srimati Radharani, she's the best wrestler." And then there was a challenge. And the challenge was that there would be a wrestling match between Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. And the day was set, and the time was set, and all the preparations were made. And the news went out. So everybody came for the big match, the big contest, to see who was really the best wrestler.
Everybody means?
Well, all the deers, the peacocks, all the birds.
Cows?
Huh?
Cows?
Of course.
Cows came?
Of course.
No granite.
No. So... And of course, the two groups were preparing. On one side, in one grove, Krishna was getting ready. He had his dhoti hitched, you know, and he was getting coached by the boys. And in another grove, Srimati Radharani had her sari all tied up nicely. And of course, she had her head covered, and her sakis were getting her ready. And then Krishna and the boys came into the arena. Beautiful setting where the match should take place.
Okay. We should take bets.
Who is
what
the strongest?
That's terrible.
Who
why?
Is the strongest?
You're not
Sri
going to do that if you're a devotee. You're breaking all the rules.
I know who's going to win.
And there's no betting.
I want to see if anyone can. All right, go ahead. No betting. She's right.
So, the boys brought Krishna into the arena. Now waiting and waiting, because you always have to wait for sakis, right? They'll always keep you waiting. So then, the sakis came forward to the arena, and they had Srimati Radharani completely covered, right? So you couldn't even see how she was prepared for the event. But as soon as they brought her within that arena, the aroma from her transcendental body completely permeated the whole place. And Madhu Mangal looked at Krishna. He could smell beautiful aroma. He looked at Krishna, and Krishna's knees were wobbling. And he fell back into the
arms. No, don't tell anymore. Okay, anyone want to bet for Krishna going to win? We'll give you 2-1 odds.
Madamanga was getting very concerned to see Krishna a bit unsteady. And he started to wipe the sweat from Krishna's brow. And then...
3-1.
Lalita Devi, she knew just what to do next. She just got the corner of the cover, the veil, covering Srimati Radharani. She just lifted the veil just enough so that Srimati Radharani could just give one sidelong glance from her eye, from the corner of her eye, right to Krishna. Krishna saw that and he just went...
And all the remarks...
Jai Jai Shri Radhe!
And of course the match was declared a knockout. One knockout blow. That's all it took.
Very good.
But I've heard another story.
No, but we don't want to tell that other story, maybe.
Why not? I told you Krishna wins. You've only told the story where Radha wins.
That's because tomorrow's her day.
You've got to tell both sides.
We don't have time. We're very busy. And there's lots of things that we have to do.
You'll
miss out on something sweet. I like sweets. Dhruv, you like sweets? You also like sweets? Dhruv?
Cookie.
You like cookie? Or you like laddu? Or burfi? Is this cookie or laddu or burfi? The story you want
this
to tell.
This story is cookie and laddu and burfi all together.
You like cookie and laddu and burfi? And Dhruv says yes. Okay, then you can say it.
Well, you know, this fighting, wrestling took place many times. It was his favorite kind of sport. And sometimes Srimati Radharani wasn't so shy like that. You know, she'd get herself all dressed up and she'd put her sari right up like a dhoti or tied back. And she'd get ready and they would have real wrestle. And that's, of course, not everybody was invited to this one. These were more like very personal. And so one time they had a wrestling match. It was at another tree, Bandiravat. There's another one called Akshayvat, which is on the opposite side of the river from Bandiravat. And they wrestled. And finally, Srimati Radharani got Krishna right down on the ground. And she was sitting on top of him, holding him down. And she goes, and Lalitasakhi goes, 1, 2, 3. And then she jumps up. And Lalitasakhi says, Radha, 1. And Krishna says, He said, I know the rules of wrestling. The person who wins is the person whose nose is facing up.
Oh, this is a good story. She's very clever. Who else would like to say something? Say that the cover of the picture book I'm just putting out is taken at Akshayvat with the two cows.
Mm, nice. Which one? Oh, the one that's beautiful, the greeny kind of a cover.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that Akshayvat is actually very close to a place named Gopighat, right by the Yamuna. Akshayvat, Gopighat. Mm-hmm. And there, the gopis performed austerities to have Krishna. Very nice place. Very lonely place. A lonely. Chirgat, Ramgat, Gopigat, Nandagat. Anyone else like to say something? Oh, you volunteered yesterday. Prabhu, what would you like to say?
Yeah. Well, I read from this book, Nectar of Devotion. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated that devotional service attracts even Krishna. Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The symbol of devotional service in the highest degree is Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, which means that he is so attractive that he can defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. But Radharani is still more attractive, for she can even attract Krishna. Therefore, devotees call her Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of cupids. To perform devotional service means follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas or great soul are under the protection of Devya Prakriti, the internal energy Radharani. So, being directly under the control of internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna himself. There is one nice story prayed by Srila Billamangal Thakur. Billamangal Thakur prays in his book as follows. It's a nice story. Let Srimati Radharani purify the whole world because she has surrendered herself completely unto Krishna. Out of her ecstasy of love, she sometimes acts just like an adult person and attempt to cure yogurt.
Oh, wait. Just like a what?
Adult.
Adult?
Not adult.
No.
Adult.
Adult,
yes.
Adult means
pagav.
Yes?
Adult.
Adult.
Adult. Okay.
No. Anyway, it's okay. No problem.
Okay. Adult person and attempt to cure yogurt. Although there was no yogurt in the pot. And seeing this, Krishna becomes so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow.
Everyone, the love was so intense.
Yeah.
This is Radha Baba, Mahababa Sarupini.
And just the last one, this is from Padyavali. One morning when Krishna came to Radha asked him, "My dear Keshava, where is your vas at present?" The Sanskrit word vas has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquires from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Then Krishna took the meaning of vas as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The Sanskrit word used in this connection was yamin yamu sihata. Yamin yam means at night and suhata means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yamin yamu hasata. The two separate words, namely yaminya and muhisata, means divide. By dividing these words into two, it comes out to mean that he can kidnap by night. Krishna therefore replied Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladded his greatest of gopis.
Hari Bol.
So she is the topmost gopi.
Wonderful.
What was the name? That means something, Shiromani.
Savakanta Shiromani.
Savakanta Shiromani. Would you like to say something? 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 How about, would you like to look at a nice picture of her? Because there's so many to look at. And you can be very, very...
Imagine it.
You have one in mind specifically?
Yes.
What one? Do you want to tell or not?
Sorry?
Do you want to tell?
Well, it was one that was put in my room at one stage, and then I said that it's too big, but now I have a bigger, much bigger room. I've got a house, and I was wondering if it would be nice if I could give a donation, maybe, for it. So that I have to ask about that in the future.
He wants to hear when I look it up. Very good. I will read some prayers that Rupa Goswami has written, Srimati Radharani. This is part of the Radha Astakam. I won't read all, but just a few. I worship, begin Dishi Dishi Rachayitim Sancharan Netra Lakshmi. I worship Sri Radha, Radhika, who with the splendid beauty of her restless eyes plays like a Kanjana bird turning in every direction. Today I saw two Kanjana birds in the park. They're called wagtails here. And it's always moving their tails back and forth and jumping. You have seen?
Mm-hmm.
You have seen? They're everywhere. I mean, not everywhere, right? He's so afraid because he thinks you're like a spider.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Make sure he hears the holy name. Certainly needs it. It's a terrible birth, a spider.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
It's an envious creature. Like a Kanjana bird. Her eyes are like Kanjana bird. That means her eyes are always moving. You can, you'll see them if you look. Actually, always moving their tails. So, with the splendid beauty of her restless eyes, plays as a Kanjana bird, turning in every direction, who is like a mali flower that attracts the bumblebee of the Prince of Braj's heart, and who is deeply filled with all transcendental virtues, with all virtues. So I worship Radharani. So three qualities. Her beautiful eyes, her beautiful eyes plays are like a Kanjana bird moving everywhere, and her beauty attracts the bumblebee, is like a flower and attracts the bumblebee of Krishna's heart. And she has all virtues. She's transcendentally completely virtuous. So and she's completely worshipable. So she is Sri Rupa Goswami, he wants to worship. I worship Sri Radha, who spreads throughout the world the fame of the dynasty of her father. Because her name is in relationship to her father.
Vrishabhanu Nandini.
Yeah. King Vrishabhanu, and who, accompanied by her friends, plays in her own fragrant lake with the prince of Braja. And that fragrant lake is called Radhakund, especially in the midday. I worship Sri Radha, whose heart is sprinkled with pure love for Lalita, who is famous for performing all kinds of friendly activities for Vishakha's sake, who is a treasure chest of the priceless rubies of pure love for Lord Krishna, and who is very sweet and playful. And she loves all her friends so much. I worship Sri Radha, who is the crowned queen of the incomparably glorious kingdom of incomparably glorious kingdom of what forest? The Vrindavan forest. Because there are so many forests in the Braja area, and of all of them, the Vrindavan forest is the toughest. And that is her forest, and therefore she is, what's her name? That means that she is the queen of the forest of Vrindavan. Who is the presiding deity of the month of Kartik, and therefore her name is Kartiki, which is the best of all auspicious occasions, who is the first of Mukunda's countless beloveds, that means Mukunda Prayasi. Mukunda Prayasi Vrindamukhyam, the first of Mukunda's countless beloveds, and whose fame removes the sins of this world. What does that mean? Whose fame removes the sins of this world?
It means if you hear and chant her fame and glorious, you become purified of all.
That's purified. Or kirti. Jagat Agahara Kirtim. Jagat Agahara Kirtim Varikim Archayami. I worship Srimati Radha. A kirti. Then I worship Sri Radha, who considers the tip of Lord Krishna's toenail millions of times more dear than her own life, who is the art teacher of many happy, beautiful-eyed gopis, and whose fame is very great. Gurum Ati Gurum Kirti Radhikam Archayami. I worship Sri Radha, whose fair complexion is crushed kunkum in a golden pestle, who is an adolescent girl flooded with waves of sweetness, who is embraced by the arms of Lord Hari, whose bodily hairs stand erect in ecstasy, and who is dressed in splendid red silk garments. Lord Krishna, the auspicious moon, who shines on the shore of which river?
Yamuna
River. becomes pleased and fulfills the desires of a person who reads or hears these eight beautiful verses, which are a reservoir of Sri Radhika's splendid and pure sweetness. Now we'll read just one more, an appeal. This is a favorite one of so many devotees. That Rupa Goswami writes to Srimati Radharani. When he writes it, he's on the shore of the Jamuna River. Raise your hand if you've been at the shore of the Jamuna River. No? When will you go? Have you gone? No? Should make him take you. Have you been? Dhruv, you have been? So he's on the shore of the river, which is very sandy, and he's actually going to roll in the sand, begging for some mercy. O Queen, whose fair limbs are more splendid than gold, O Queen, whose eyes are as charming as the eyes of a doe, O Queen, whose face defeats millions of moons, O Queen, who is dressed in garments as dark as a monsoon cloud, O Queen, who is the crowning garland of mallika flowers on the decorated braided hair of the young gopis, O Queen, whose beauty is served by many splendid transcendental jewels and other ornaments, O Teacher of the intelligent and expert gopis, O Queen, who is elaborately decorated with a host of transcendental virtues, O Queen, who is accompanied by her eight very dear friends, O Queen, who arouses Lord Keshava with the waves of your restless sidelong glances, O Queen, whose nectar fruit lips have been tasted by the Prince of Braja, O Queen of Vrindavan, I bow down before you, and I roll about on the Yamuna shore, this person with an agitated heart and a choked voice appeals to you. Krita gaske piyoge pi janasmin kumatavapi dasyadan pradadanasya shravan lavan api upapadaya. Even though he has committed offenses, even though he is unqualified, and even though his intelligence is crooked, please give this person a small particle of your devotional service. Dasya dan pradanasya. Why? Why should she do this to such a person? Yuktas tvaya jano naiva dukkito ayamupekshitam kripa dhota javacita Navanatasiyatsuda. Because the fresh butter of your heart is always melting in the splendor of your transcendental mercy, it is not proper for you to neglect this person who is so full of anguish. Okay.
Right.
Huh? It's the whole thing.
Well, there should be more.
Well, you should tell Rupa Goswami he should have written more.
Well, there's another one that's like that, and then it goes on.
That's true. It's like two push buttons. Yeah. This is Archana, this is Padati, Prarthana Padati. So two push buttons is a handful of prayer flowers, and it's quite long. Huh? But there's another one that's short. I'll read that one. That, it's the two pushkins. It's not to be read right now, but this one is a little short. This is Gandhava Kartana Astaka. So how many verses will it be?
10, 9.
Astaka.
8, 9.
Well, we're getting closer. 10, 9, 8.
Nine.
We'll stop it.
Because it has to have a fold, doesn't it?
It does too. But it's the Astaka.
Is the
fall within
the astika, or
it's the post-astika fall. This is what this is what Upa Goswami says in his appeal. Please reveal the lotus faces of you both. With the enthusiasm of two maddened elephants, you enjoy your pastimes in Vrindavan. O Queen, please be kind to me. Please be kind. Falling down like a stick on the ground, distressed and stammering with words choked with emotion. I beg you, O Queen Gandharvika, O Srimati Radharani, please be kind to this foolish person and count him as one of your associates. Oh, beautiful one, when shall I worship you? Your intense beauty leaving the goddess of fortune far behind, and your transcendental form bound by the left arm of Lord Shyam, who charms all the worlds with his handsomeness, which is far greater than that of Lord Narayan. When as you, the two ornaments of the three worlds, enjoy your pastimes of sweet joking words with Shyam, when will this person massage your lotus feet? When will I fan you both when you are tired from enjoying your pastimes? When will I fan you by the shore of your lake? When will I fan you with a chamara whisk? When, as you playfully hide in the cave of a forest and Chitra hints that now, O beautiful one, you are trapped by Mukunda, when will I say, don't knit your eyebrows? And then I will lead you as you make believe you're angry, into the presence of the Prince of Braj. When will I be able to serve in that way? When will I see you, after defeating the Prince of Braj in a playful verbal duel, intoxicated with happiness and speaking many proud words? When will I see you, elaborately praised by your blossoming friends? Whatever surrendered devotee, hears or reads these 8 appeals to the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, she, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, along with her beloved, happily splashes with waves of her mercy. Abhi Akbaji. They talk about that the Supreme Lord has a masculine and feminine side. But then they think the ultimate is impersonal.
They have all kind of they suggest all kind of things that resemble a feminine personality, but he has all kind of
They ruin everything.
Yes.
Speculation and envy. What to do?
That's a Jewish mindset.
No, it's kind of misleading scripture. It's not the Orthodox religion. The Orthodox religion is very strict, no kind of personality, no kind of form.
But you better be afraid of him.
Yeah.
The highest is to go before him and
that's why they call themselves. They call in Hebrew they call Haredim. Haredim means in anxiety. This is the meaning of the word.
That's what they call him? Or they call
that's what they call themselves.
The Hasidim.
No, Hasidim is something else, but the Orthodox religion call themselves Haredim. Haredim. And Harada is anxiety. Haredim is someone who is in anxiety. That's the meaning of the word. And that's how they call themselves.
Sounds a little bit like Hara.
Sounds a lot like Hara.
The basis is that the anxiety to be a good thing.
Anxiety of God, yes.
To be before Him. Because he's so powerful, unlimitedly powerful, and you're so tiny, and you don't know what he's going to do next. He can do anything he wants. You're completely at his mercy. And therefore, when you go before him, you tremble. Well, that's why they call that anxiety. And you have to follow the laws, or else.
He's on the right side.
Or else he's going to throw a thunderbolt. And Christianity, they take it, there's the law, and they take that mercy is stronger than the law. They look in that way. And then they do whatever they want. Anyway, mercy is stronger than the law. Anyway. What is that? Explore the secrets of the universe, the mysteries of life, and the path of self-discovery. Open the door to a vast treasure house of knowledge. Economics, philosophy, natural health, sociology, ancient history, vegetarianism, karma, reincarnation, yoga, education, meditation, art, psychology, literature, adventure, architecture, transcendence, ecology, politics, astrology, astronomy, music, and science. The Encyclopedia of Eastern Classics. Knowledge you need. Bhagavatam, on September Charitamrita. Over 25 million volumes now in print. For thousands of years, man has grappled with the essential questions of life. In the East, an advanced civilization sought to uncover the mysteries of the self and the universe. Their answers, locked away in Sanskrit codes, are now revealed in exciting clarity. Scholars today acclaim the Eastern classics to be of a monumental significance. Includes the 18 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, plus other volumes. A most remarkable scholar, Prabhupada. Mm. The author of the Encyclopedia of Eastern Classics is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Was born in Calcutta in 1896. his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whom he met in 1922, convinced him to dedicate his life to teaching Vedic knowledge. Srila Prabhupada became his student, and 11 years later became his formally initiated disciple. At their first meeting in 1922, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta requested Srila Prabhupada to broadcast Vedic knowledge in the English language. In the years that followed, Prabhupada started Back to Godhead, a magazine that is still being published to this day in over 30 languages. He also wrote an important commentary to Bhagavad Gita and several books, including Easy Journey to Other Planets. In 1959, at the historic Radha Damodar Temple, after years of deep study, he began his life's masterpiece, a multi-volume translation and commentary of the 18,000 verses, the 18,000 verse Srimad Bhagavatam. Subsequently, he wrote more than 60 volumes of authoritative translations, commentaries, and sundry studies of the philosophical and religious classics of India. Highly respected in academic circles for their authority, depth, and clarity, they are used as standard textbooks in numerous colleges and universities around the world. Srila Prabhupada's writing have been translated into 50 languages. The Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, established in 1972 exclusively to publish his works, has become the world's largest publisher of books in the field of Indian religion and philosophy. Where did you get? Here.
No.
Do you have in your house a set of Prabhupada's books? Very good. Do you have in your house a set of Prabhupada's books?
No.
Huh?
No.
Is it yet? Do you have in your house a set of Prabhupada's books?
No, no, no.
Why?
I've got a Shimon Padala in my house.
Okay. And Bhagavad Gita and Nectar Dance. Do you have the encyclopedia? Most of the books in the encyclopedia. Okay. So what is our plan for tomorrow?
Well, the program is in the evening. We should all get up in the morning and chant around, giving our hearts to Srimati Radharani. Then it's half day fast. And prasad will be early to breakfast, and then we'll be leaving at about 5:15.
From here.
In the temple.
We plan to get there what time?
5:45.
Even if it's rush hour.
Yeah, I mean that road highway section of the room doesn't really fit. Too slow. Because we're not going towards the city, we're going around the Midlands.
Okay. What time will you get back from work tomorrow?
I'm trying to leave by 3, so by 4 I believe.
And you'll have a full day tomorrow?
Yeah, and sorry, sir. This is all we choose. She told me last week she was going to fight her own. She told me that. Maybe we should check.
Okay. How did Lord Jagannath turn out? How did Lord Jagannath turn out?